You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We only got through part of the stuff in the first hour. If you didn't hear the first hour, you'll want to go to RadioMD.com, log on, and archive from 4/18/2005, 4/18/2005, or whatever date it is you're hearing it on, and 2015, that should be, only 10 years off, 2015, and listen to it, because it really is an outstanding interview with Laszlo Bock on talking about, and I wasn't a really great interviewer, he did a great interview, talking about the, if you will, what has happened at Google and how they've been able to do it, and the really what I would call remarkable progress in so many areas and so much of what they've changed. Yeah, Google has a lot of money now and maybe can spend it on a lot of benefits, but they didn't in the beginning. And he talks about this, if you will, all the way through. It's really remarkable information that I would say is available because of the of this book. And if you haven't seen this book or gotten it, go and get it. Read an abstract of it at Amazon or where BarnesandNoble.com, and then go and get the book. It is really truly a remarkable, if you will, book. The other thing I do want you to look at, we have so many good stories in that first hour. I've got to repeat the one on the Dr. Oz attack. Dr. Oz was, a letter was written by, quote, 10 physicians to the dean, who is Dr. Oz's boss at the University of Columbia, at Columbia University Physician and Surgeons Medical School, saying that Dr. Oz should have his medical license revoked, his faculty appointment taken away because of misleading stuff. Well, here's what is misleading about the article. The doctors that cited in the letter and signed the letter are really not, as far as I can tell, real. I only Googled three of them. I was tipped off to this by a someone who said this is really coming 2 weeks before Sweeps Week just to hurt the show before Sweeps Week. It shouldn't, it won't hopefully do that. But it was done, and the surprise is that no one has done the due diligence. I only used Google for 15 minutes, and what I found was the following. Dr. Miller, who wrote the letter, is best known as a staunch GMO component. That is, he likes GMO foods. He testifies for GMO. He strongly spoke out in favor of GMO and against labeling it. Mehmet, Dr. Oz, is one of his positions is we should know where the food comes from. We should know whether it's GMO or not so you can make a decision. Not whether it's good or bad, but so you can make a decision. Well, Henry Miller was strongly against it. He was the primary face and voice of the GMO campaign, TV ads, radio, and he was all over flyers. Initially, the ad said he was a Stanford doctor, as it said on CNN, and as it said on a number of radio shows recently. That's wrong. He's not a TV. He's not a Stanford doc. He's a research officer at the conservative think tank of the Hoover Institute. He's not a physician. He's a PhD. He's a former trustee at the American Council on Science and Health, which is funded by the GMO industry. He's a founding member of the Philip Morris-backed group that discredits the link, that tried to discredit the links between tobacco products and cancer. And after the nuclear meltdown at Fukushima, he was hired by the nuclear power industry, and he argued publicly, this is all Google public stuff, it shows what, how he did it, that radiation from the disaster would provide health benefits to the Japanese citizens. A little weird. He argues that drug companies, not the FDA, should be responsible for testing new drugs. Stay tuned and you'll see why that doesn't work. and he's a board member of a institute funded by oil and gas companies, the George C. Marshall Institute, which is notorious for its denial of climate change. Scott Atlas, in a letter to Columbus, says he's a fellow at the Hoover Institute, neglects to mention that he's also one who criticized organic foods, saying they're no healthier than conventional. Gilbert Ross is the executive director, president and executive director of the American Council on Science and Health. He's defended arsenic in pressure-treated wood, saying it poses no risk to health. He wrote on behalf of the farm salmon industry that PCBs in fish are not a cause of health risk, including cancer. He was a doc. His license to practice was revoked because of professional misconduct and Medicaid fraud. He was sentenced to 46 months in jail. He served 14 months. His license was reinstated in 2004. Jack Fisher is a real physician. He's a plastic surgeon. He's retired. He's currently on the trustee of the ACSH board. He wrote a book arguing that the leaky Dow Corning silicon implants weren't a risk and that silicon diffusing out of the silicon implants were no problem. And the American Council on Science and Health is a GMO-funded organization. All the archives support Monsanto. I don't know that Monsanto's behind this. I have no idea, but it looks awful suspicious that between a rival show trying to discredit him 2 weeks before May sweeps and Monsanto, something's funny in this attack on Dr. Oz. In any case, I know Mehmet very well. I worked hand in glove with him for essentially from 2004 to 2010, 40 hours a week. There's not a dishonest bone in his body. He tries to express in clear terms what is important for humans. And yeah, when they were doing Sweeps Week and other things, they would use hyped language on the show. And he stopped doing that. But it was always supportive science. And if you go to the website, there are always the articles supporting the science they did. To me, it's amazing that CNN, Elizabeth Cohn, is a good reporter. Why she hasn't stepped up and done this honestly and with best of intentions, I don't know why she hasn't reported who the letter writers are, because it didn't take me long to just Google it. We have Gary Ginsberg coming up, who's going to talk about what's toxic and what's not, as well as a great question one of you sent in. By the way, you can send in questions to me at udocs@gmail.com, and I just haven't gotten to them. I know Muriel has written me, I know Don has written me, I know Kyla has written me, and Donna has written me, anyway, I apologize for not getting to all your questions or your answers. The book that he talked about, Laszlo Bock, in the last hour, was in fact Work Rules. A couple of you have asked me what was the name of the book. I thought I said it enough, but apparently I didn't. It is Work Rules. By Laszlo Bock. In any case, the real story also today was that was one of my favorite stories, because one of my favorite foods is walnuts. That is, walnuts were looked at in the Nehane study, and they looked at mental function tests 3, 6, and many more years later. And what they found is that the walnuts, that just six walnut halves a day decreased the risk of, or made you function with a brain speed that was faster and with a memory that was more deep, that made you the equivalent of 6 years younger. When we come back, we'll be talking with Gary Ginsberg, what's toxic, what's not, what you should do with your old batteries, and what you should do when a windstorm moves in. We'll be right back.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Suzanne Bennett. Are you truly fed up with that fat tummy? That growing muffin top which makes you feel bloated, sick and tired all the time? Then I have the answer for you. I am so ready to share my Flat Sexy Belly program so you can get rid of that swollen belly and at the same time feeling fabulous and energized the all-natural way. In my Flat Sexy Belly deep dive, you will heal your gut and at the same time lose weight, improve your energy, sharpen your mental focus, and even sleep deeper. Go to drsuzanne.com/FSB and enter promo code radio at the checkout for half off the program price. Again, that's drsuzanne.com/FSB and use the promo code radio. Get ready for the new you.
My name is Jenny Allen, and I'm a mother, a writer, and a performer. I also survived uterine and ovarian cancers. I even wrote a play about that.
Maybe you are just cancer-ish and it'll pass.
Before cancer, I took my health entirely for granted, like air. But my symptoms, pain in my abdomen and periods that were heavier and longer than usual for me, related to menopause, I thought. But no, I had cancer and treatment. If you have symptoms that last 2 weeks or longer, be brave. Go to the doctor. Ask questions. The odds are you don't have cancer, but find out for sure.
Ovarian and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everyone.
Now I'm feeling healthy and happy and hopeful. I am so lucky. I got sick, and then I got better.
Gary there.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD, where we always try and give you the latest health news with a bent on how it can help you take control of your genes for a better life. And I hope you can take control. Gary Ginsberg, we're looking for him now. He's usually here at this time, and we switch stations. He probably doesn't have the number to call in. So I'm hoping that Sonar can get a hold of him some way. But in any case, his stories were wonderful and wonderfully entertaining this week. If you have a drawer full of old batteries, what's the safest way to get rid of them is one of his questions. So, Gary, since we got sent that to your mailbag, what's the answer about old batteries?
Yeah, people often ask me that. Number one, they're worried that they may leak acid all over their clothing, their drawers, and you want to get rid of batteries before they get that old and crusty that they start leaking the inner liquids in there that could be pretty damaging to the skin. But, you know, in the old days, it was everything had toxic metals like lead or cadmium in it. And so everything had to go to your household waste collection day, not in the regular garbage. These days, your average alkaline C or D or AA battery, an alkaline battery, can, when it's expired, go in the trash. They got rid of the toxic metals. But what you want to watch out for are the rechargeable nickel-cadmium batteries. Cadmium, toxic metal. You don't want that. Has to go when you're done recharging it and its life is over. That has to go back to the place you bought it. Sometimes the Radio Shack type of stores will take those back. Button batteries. There's a couple of different kinds. I don't want to make this any more complicated than it needs to, but your average watch battery, silver oxide, it's got precious metals in it. The jeweler will usually take those back. They can get a little bit of money for those.
Wait a second. My normal watch battery only costs like 25 cents. How can it have valuable stuff in it?
Yeah, it has a little bit, and they do recycle it because it's got a little bit of mercury in it as well. So they don't want that going in the trash. Whereas other kinds of button batteries, lithium-ion batteries that you might have in a cell phone or in a camera, those are non-toxic. They can just go in the trash. So these days, a lot more can go in the trash. What you want to watch out for, obviously, are car batteries. They are lead-containing. Those you bring back to, if you have one kicking around your garage, bring it back to a place that does batteries, car batteries. They'll probably take it for you for no charge. Those have to get carefully recycled. And you want to watch out for the recyclable nickel cadmium. Otherwise, a lot of the other batteries can be thrown in the regular trash these days. And one reason I want to bring up batteries is because an exciting new development with solar is that there's a household-sized battery that can actually be charged by solar panels on the roof. And the wave of the future looks like, I have solar panels on my house, by the way, but I don't have a way to store the energy. But the household-sized lithium-ion batteries are the wave of the future. The price is coming down, and it's going to be within the next 5 years where people are going to be storing solar power in their basement in large batteries.
Wait. I thought the solar power was collected by something called silver process as well. Or is that the collection and not the storage?
Exactly. That's just the collection. The problem right now, one of the problems right now with solar, although the price has come down a lot, solar really is much more attractive than it ever has been. But, you're making electrons when the sun's out. And if you make extra electrons, say in the summertime, than you need, then it goes back into the grid. And so your local utility is, you're a net seller of electrons to your utility. Well, that could be a good thing if they give you a good price for it, a fair price for it. But these days, utilities are taking a hard look at that, and the concern is that you're not going to get much for your extra excess production. So if you could store it, then you'll have the electrons for your own. You could go off the grid, essentially. Not maybe 100%, unless you live in Mojave Desert, but a lot of people can increasingly go off the grid with storage batteries off their solar generators.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how good these new storage things will be.
Well, think about your car and the lithium-ion batteries now that are coming out of China that are going into hybrid cars and the electric cars. They're talking about a bigger version of that to run off of photovoltaics off your roof. Yeah. So the future is batteries. It looks like, now, that's not my field. I'm a toxicologist, but increasingly we're using batteries to store excess energy that comes from wind, comes from sun.
Now, and okay, let's go to the next subject, because we could probably speak forever on batteries and battery recycling and danger. Is there anything to worry about with a lithium battery? In other words, if a kid gets it and he eats it, is it a problem? Is there anything else?
Yeah, children and batteries do not mix, and your stomach is a pretty strong acid environment, and theoretically, the battery could get stuck there for a while and therefore lead to acid release and damage to the lining of the GI tract. So, yes, if you think your child has swallowed a battery, definitely take them to the local emergency room and have it checked out. The gastric emptying time is 1 to 2 hours, so hopefully it'll pass in 1 to 2 hours fairly harmlessly. But if it gets stuck in a fold in the linings, that could be bad.
Okay, let's go to the next subject, which is a firefighting cancer risk and what to do about it if you're a firefighter.
Yeah, firefighters have a hazard. We all know how hazardous it is to be a firefighter from the buildings collapsing on you kind of scenario. But smoke inhalation is a real risk. And you don't think of, you think of the people in the building that's burning, breathing in the smoke and dying in place. Firefighters breathe in less smoke than that typically, but it's cumulative. And there's carcinogens, there's flame retardants, there's all sorts of chemicals in a house that when the house burns, get into the air in various forms and could be carcinogens. And firefighters have higher cancer rates. Well, because of these concerns, they're starting to build new experimental firehouses that get rid of all the diesel exhaust, because these are diesel trucks, and they run them sometimes inside the fire station, and the walls can be covered with soot to cut down on that, to clean their clothing fast and effectively so that they're not off-gassing all these fumes while they're in the fire station. So the fireman's equipment has to be decontaminated, because that's all carcinogenic soot as well. So the awareness is starting to come that this is a hazardous job, not only the acutely but the chronic cancer, and the fire stations are starting to get better.
Wow. Okay. And let's talk a little bit about the Delaware family poisoned in the Caribbean resort by a banned pesticide. Anything we can do about that?
Yeah, this is my headline story for the week, and the story is continuing as this poor family from Delaware, which was down at a resort in St. John about a month ago, all became sick. Mother, father, two teenage boys. The kids are still in a coma. And the father has had seizures. The mother has had seizures. The mother's gotten the best out of it so far. She's getting better. But this is methylbromide, a pesticide that is banned for any residential uses. It's just used as a soil fumigant to sterilize the soil out in farmland. And it was used inappropriately at this resort on the ground floor. These people are on the second floor. It permeated one floor up, and it poisoned them. So what you want to do is if you see any fogging pesticide operations, immediately call the owners and tell them you don't want that anywhere near you. When you first get to a room in a tropical resort, air it out thoroughly before you put your clothes down, before you put your head on the pillow.
And that is Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com. Great segments. We'll be back next week with Gary Ginsberg, but with you in 3 minutes after the commercials. Stay tuned.
Remember when Grandpa used to slip a little whiskey into his coffee? Well, we sure don't recommend that to anyone. But if you want your coffee to be maximized, then spike it with Java Jolt from Action Energy. What is Java Jolt? Action Energy specifically designed Java Jolt for the coffee drinker to add a jolt to your cup so that your coffee will now be chock full of a special blend of healthy nutrients and minerals like ginseng, green tea extract, vitamins B6 and B12, caffeine, and vitamin C. Now, that's the kind of coffee I like. Java Jolt and the complete line of Action Energy Nutritional Energy Shots are available at selected retail stores. Go to ActionEnergyAE.com for more information. ActionEnergyAE.com. Action Energy is the proud sponsor of Drs. Oz and Royzen articles and health tips on Radio MD.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parents-are-the-key. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Hi, this is Dr. Mike Smith, host of Healthy Talk. You know, I've been taking omega-3 fatty acids every day for over 10 years, and I plan on taking them indefinitely the rest of my life. But with so many omega-3 products on the market, how do you know which one is best? In my opinion, the best omega-3 product is Super Omega-3 from Life Extension. Super Omega-3 is a one-of-a-kind, scientifically validated fish oil derived from sustainable sources that contains a full-spectrum blend of sesame lignans and olive fruit extract. It's so good, IFOS, the world's leading fish oil testing program, awarded the coveted 5 stars to Life Extension Super Omega-3. And during the month of April, Life Extension is making you an incredible offer. Just visit lifeextension.com/omega for a 50% discount on Super Omega-3 EPA DHA with sesame lignans and olive fruit extract. I encourage you to try Super Omega-3 from Life Extension. Go to lifeextension.com/omega to obtain a full spectrum fish oil blend, including sesame lignans and olive fruit extract. That's lifeextension.com/omega.
Breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths among women in the United States. Better screening and treatment have contributed to a decline in breast cancer deaths. However, not all women have benefited equally from these improvements. Black women have the highest death rate from breast cancer compared to any other racial or ethnic group. We can all help reduce deaths from breast cancer. Healthcare professionals can ensure that women get the tests and treatment they need on time. Patient navigators can help guide women through the healthcare system so they get the care they need. Women need to educate themselves about breast cancer and talk to their healthcare provider about how to reduce their risk. The full benefit of breast cancer screening is achieved when every woman receives adequate screening, timely follow-up, and high-quality treatment. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, where the goal is for help you stay well, and we'll tell you what you can do to take charge. As we're going into the break, I was talking about walnuts, 6 walnuts a day, in the study of Niehane's, 8 and 12 years later, decreased the aging. That is, of people who were taking, who ate routinely 6 walnut halves a day, had the equivalent mental function compared to those who didn't eat walnuts of being 6 years younger. So walnuts made you 6 years younger. At the same time, a mouse study, same week, a mouse study of Alzheimer's disease came out and showed that the mice who were bred for or genetically manipulated so they would get Alzheimer's early, if you gave them the equivalent of 12 walnut halves or 18 walnut halves a day, it decreased their risk of Alzheimer's disease by more than 50%. 50% in the 12, and I think it was 67% in the 18 walnuts a day. So I was always partial to walnuts and would eat them relatively maybe three or four times a week. I am now eating them a ounce, which is about, if you look at it, an ounce is probably around 200 calories. I'm eating an ounce of walnuts a day, which is the equivalent of 24 walnut halves a day. Probably don't need to eat that many to get the benefit, but I am eating that many. One of the studies of one of these Oz attackers was saying that the drug companies should have their own approval rights on drugs. Well, here's one of the interesting things, if you will. This is the FDA has warned of a combination or a drug of AstraZeneca's drug Onglyza, O-N-G-L-Y-Z-A. So if you're taking that, you probably want to switch. There's an easy drug to switch to. Takeda makes one in the same class but doesn't have this problem. Onglyza, if you will, is a DPP-4 inhibitor. Don't worry about that. It's a glucose. It tries to control glucose levels in type 2 diabetics, but it is associated with earlier a 27% increase in heart failure and a increased death rate. So that's one of the reasons why this is such a crazy thing. This letter attacking Oz is by a bunch of guys who don't know really what they're talking about in any of the science they've supported. So they're the ones who should be thrown out of the Hoover Institution. I guess one of them already has served time in jail for medical fraud. Excuse me for having a cup of coffee, but I need to have the coffee during the show to keep my throat able to talk with any modicum of normalcy tonight for some reason. We talked in the first hour about the sudden cardiac arrests and that not being a worry for middle-aged exercisers. That is, only 5% of the people who had sudden cardiac arrests were exercising during or immediately beforehand. One of the other stories that is so interesting is on muscle builders. Turns out that muscle builders are buying breast milk between $1 and $6 an ounce, and most of it is contaminated with bacteria that are bad for you. And secondly is that as much as 50% of the, quote, breast milk is regular old cow's milk that they get much cheaper, obviously, than either $1 an ounce or $6 an ounce. There is lore about it helping build muscles. There's no data on that. And if you're a mother trying to give her child breast milk, and you've got excess breast milk, you normally, if you're many of them are giving it to companies that process it and keep it intact. Cow's milk is very bad for infants. It does cause disruption and colic, and because the baby just doesn't have the enzyme systems to handle it and metabolize it. One of the other interesting stories this week that fascinated me was one on the microbes that inhabit a newborn's, if you will, gut. And most of those come from the mother, and they get there because the mother, either through what is the birth canal experience or through her feeding of the child afterwards, has bacteria on her that grow. And one of the things you want growing in the child is bifidobacteria. And so this study in the journal Microbiome, your microbiome is all those bacteria on you, in you, that aren't you. That is the cells that are on you and in you and aren't you. But it turns out that the bifidobacteria love a specific special sugar that is needed, that needs the gene FUT2. It manufactures that special bacteria that the bifidobacteria love, and that unfortunately, 20% of women don't have that. So maybe we can give these women's children the special sugar that the bifidobacteria add as a little extra formula. This is early studies, but it is a way. How do you get better bacteria in your gut and keep them there for your life so that the bifidobacteria, which are associated with thinner bodies throughout life, can, in fact, thrive? One of the great areas we'll see changes in is bacteria, is how you get bacteria and what bacteria you get for the rest of your life. I expect that to have real change throughout life, as that is that we see bacteria change. How we get bacteria will be one of the new pharmaceutical preparations, that is, we'll be giving people healthy bacteria. We now call it probiotics, but we'll be giving them many more of these and with food, so that you can, for example, have red meat and not change your bacteria to bacteria that cause inflammation in you. I expect to see that over the next 2 to 3 years. Stan Hazen at the Cleveland Clinic, who is the master of this and has been one of the prime drivers in avoiding red meat because of it changing, and egg yolks and things with lecithin and carnitine and choline in them, because they change the bacteria your gut uses. In any case, I expect that to be changed as time goes on, and that we see a difference in this over time, see a great new therapeutic armamentarium relating to the bacteria in your gut. One of those articles talked about 4 eggs a week, and this is a study of a large number of people, 2,332 men who were between 42 and 60, and what happened when they had 4 eggs a week and were at risk for or had type 2 diabetes. We'll come back and talk to you about that in just a few seconds on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Our goal is obviously to help you get new information and information that helps you. You can always email us. Tell us what you like, what you don't like at udocs, youdocs at gmail.com, youdocs at gmail.com. We'll be right back.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Antioxidants, you've heard of them, but do you know what they're good for or where to get them? This is Sylvia Escott Stump of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Antioxidants, they destroy the free radicals that cause cellular damage, and eating foods that are rich in antioxidants may help prevent cancer and heart disease. These foods include red wine in addition to grape juice, whole grain pasta, eggs, seafood, and canned beans, brightly colored vegetables, carrots, squash, broccoli, all the peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and kale are other tasty sources. And for those of you with a sweet tooth, good news. Honey, brown sugar, and maple syrup, in addition to fruits like blueberries, cantaloupe, peaches, and strawberries, also contain significant levels of antioxidants. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Sylvia Escott Stump with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Suzanne Bennett. Are you truly fed up with that fat tummy? That growing muffin top which makes you feel bloated, sick, and tired all the time? Then I have the answer for you. I am so ready to share my Flat Sexy Belly program so you can get rid of that swollen belly and at the same time feeling fabulous and energized the all-natural way. In my Flat Sexy Belly deep dive, you will heal your gut and at the same time lose weight, improve your energy, sharpen your mental focus, and even sleep deeper. Go to drsuzanne.com/FSB and enter promo code radio at the checkout for half off the program price. Again, that's drsuzanne.com/FSB and use the promo code radio. Get ready for the new you.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. One of the things we were talking about is egg eating, and it's such an interesting study, I couldn't help resist it. They were eating 4 eggs a week, and the headline was 4 eggs a week decreased type 2 diabetic risk. So I went into the study, and it's absolutely true. If you didn't have diabetes, and you ate 4 eggs, including the yolks a week, you had a 37% lower risk than men who ate 1 egg a week of getting type 2 diabetes. However, the people who had type 2 diabetes died 100%, that is, died 50% faster and developed heart attacks 50% more than those who didn't eat. So eggs are a mixed bag, apparently. And I don't know what to make of it other than, obviously, more than 1 egg yolk a week increases inflammation in your body. So I don't know how to gauge that well, other than to say that I think red meat, egg yolks, and other things. Red meat, egg yolks, and other things that contain lecithin, choline, and carnitine increase your risk of inflammation and increase your risk of dying prematurely. Weight loss programs. This was a interesting study, is that the two Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig were said to be the best programs at having people lose weight and sustain weight for over a year. And it was Jenny Craig was outstanding compared to all the other programs. Weight Watchers was a very distant second and best of the 12 programs that were looked at. Another interesting article that came out this last week was on saffron. I'm just wild about saffron. Can you get that for us, Sonar? I'm just wild about saffron, the song. Okay. Well, it was daily saffron supplements were more effective at preventing muscle weakness and pain after about a strenuous activity than was anything else. So what happened? Well, saffron normally comes from Iran or one of the Asian countries, I should say. And it was that they had people do 20 sets of repetitions of a leg press machine loaded at 80% for these 39 men. And they then looked at those who took daily capsules containing 300 milligrams of powdered saffron versus those who didn't. It turned out the saffron group was pain-free for 3 days after the session compared to a control group or an indomethacin group that had minor pain that disappeared after 72 hours or severe muscle pain for 3 days, which peaked at 48 hours. So muscle strength and swelling was unchanged by the saffron, but the pain afterwards was decreased. We don't know the effect on women. This is just a male study, and we don't know the effect on highly trained athletes. It was just on amateur athletes who were doing a leg press. So now, how do you get saffron? Do you know the answer to that, Sonar? Sonar's still looking for our article. Well, in fact, the saffron is a key ingredient in natural supplements for macular degeneration and cataracts, recently approved for those indications in Canada. But it turns out that it's very hard to get it other than in Iran. And when I looked at it, where could you get it? Well, it isn't so expensive. I went and got the article, got more information on saffron. It's a higher dose than you put in your saffron-flavored rice or anything else, but even a small dose seemed to decrease pain after muscle injury. So I want some of you to try it and email and see what happens with that. We've also had, why does exercise decreased muscle mass, decreased memory loss was a question asked to us on the email line, and the answer is because what happens is exercise releases what we call miracle growth for your brain, brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor into your hippocampal area, causes you to have increased hippocampal size, which correlates strongly with memory. It's increased brain connections. Brain connections are how you get memory. So apparently exercise increases that. Stress decreases those connections. It prunes those connections. And so one of the things you want is if you're used to manage stress, do a little physical activity, and again, have some walnuts. Why do friends and buddies reduce memory loss was a question again on the email line. Email line is udocs@gmail.com. Why is that? Because stress ablates the effect of stress. That is, friends ablate the effect of stress on decreasing hippocampal size. What is the role of brain games, crossword puzzles, and the thing you always talk about, ping pong? All of those, again, increase brain connectiveness that works through your hippocampus. They increase your hippocampal size, which again increases your memory power.
WebMD says that saffron is used for a whole bunch of things, like asthma, whooping cough, even to rub into your scalp if you're balding.
Well, I like the saffron to rub in. Those are topical uses. Does it say anything about taking it on food? Because obviously if it was good in food for pain relief, I'd be taking it all the time for before all exercise and after all exercise.
Well, let's say if you
session.
Ingest it, it's for sleep problems, even says for hardening of the arteries. You can loosen that up a little bit.
Huh. So saffron seems to be a great thing. What do you think about it? Have you ever taken it?
No, I haven't. I mean, for insomnia and things like that, I usually use a little bit of rosemary or something, but I've never actually
ingested it. I mean, it's a great tasting spice. I haven't done it for medicinal purposes, though.
Huh. Okay, it is great in tasting. I wonder how much is used, because this is the dose in the study is 300 milligrams. I understand for a gram of it, which would be three times this, that it sells for around $60 or $70. So the right amount for this would be about a $20 dose. Seems to last for 3 days, so $6 a day for relieving pain seems pretty inexpensive, although not trivial. You see a price on saffron on the WebMD market price?
I don't see a price, but you're definitely right about cramps and almost they say something about infertility as well.
I'm trying to search for it myself right now on other data. I had never seen this before. This
Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible through the powers of wild forest extracts from North American herb and spice. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest used by top Olympic athletes who no one could defeat. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga birch bark is good for your heart and healthy cholesterol and helps build healthy arteries. No wonder it is known as the king of all herbs. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell in the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy you and a more powerful you too. So take North American Herb and Spice's Chaga Charge Tea with wild birch bark and Chaga Max capsules to get the maximum energy you need. You deserve it. Available at fine health food stores and online at p73.com. That's p-73.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.